It's good to hear so many conversations going on. We pray that you'll continue to do those after the service. Our Bible reading this morning is found in Exodus chapter 12, the ESV. And I'm going to read from verse 14 down to verse 28. Exodus chapter 12, verse 14. This day shall be a memorial day, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations, as a statute forever. You shall keep it as a feast. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven out of your houses, for if anyone eats what is leavened from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. On the first day you shall hold a holy assembly, and on the seventh day a holy assembly. No work shall be done on these days, but whatever one needs to eat, that alone may be prepared by you. And you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for on this day, on this very day, I brought you your hosts out of the land of Egypt. Therefore, you shall observe this day throughout all your generations as a statute forever. In the first month, from the 14th day of the month at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening. For 7 days, no leaven will be found in your houses. If anyone eats what is leavened, that person will be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he is a sojourner or a native of the land. You shall eat nothing leavened. In all your dwelling places you shall eat unleavened bread. Then Moses called all the elders of Israel and said to them, go and select lambs for yourselves according to your clans, and kill the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and touch the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. None of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning, for the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to enter your houses to strike you. And you shall observe this rite as a statute for you and for your sons forever. And when you come to the land the Lord will give you, as he has promised, you shall keep this service. And when your children say to you, what do you mean by this service? You shall say, it is a sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, for he passed over the houses of the people of Israel in Egypt, and when he struck the Egyptians, but spared our houses. And the people bowed their heads and worshipped. Then the people of Israel went and did so, as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so they did. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning, church family, and a warm welcome to any visitors here with us this morning. Yes, that's our passage for today, and I know there's lots of talk of blood and doorposts and lintel and whatnot, and sometimes the Bible talks about strange things, because sometimes life has strange things, and so that is okay. We're going to look at it together this morning, but before we do, let us pray, turn to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious God, it is a wonderful joy to be here this morning, and it is a wonderful, wonderful privilege to hear your word, to be given your word, to be recipients of your word, a revelation of yourself. And we pray this morning that you would nourish us on your word and so feed our souls. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In 2016, Teagues and I were at a church planting conference in New Zealand in Wellington, there for a couple of nights. And during what usually happens between conferences, you walk around the city, you have a little look around and see what's around. And as I did, one of the things that I noticed the most was fireworks in majority of the stores, storefronts. It's everywhere. Now, for a Queenslander, where fireworks is banned, officially banned, this was an incredible sight because people could, I'd say, you're saying I can just go in there and grab that firework now? They're like, you can do that. I said, this is brilliant. And so it just happened to be over the 5th of November. Now, some of you might think, 5th of November, what is about the 5th of November? Well, Guy Fawkes Day is celebrated on the 5th of November. He was an infamous traitor who had a failed attempt to blow up Parliament back in 1605 and kill the king. Famous poem includes these lines, "Remember, remember, the 5th of November, the gunpowder, treason and plot. I know of no reason why the gunpowder treason should ever be forgot." Well, remembering is important, isn't it? They say if you want to remember your wedding anniversary, simply forget it once. Well, such important days should not be forgotten. There's many days that we want to remember. Important days should not be forgotten. And it's not simply to honor the past, but actually to help shape and form us in the present. So consider a day like Anzac Day here in Australia, 25th of April. It's a day to remember those who fought for our nation, who modeled virtues that we also want to embody today. Virtues like mateship and courage and sacrifice. Why do we keep remembering? Lest we forget. Lest we forget how we got here as a country. Lest we forget the life we've been given. Lest we forget the sacrifices that afforded our freedoms. I know of no reason why it should ever be forgot. Well, these kind of annual reminders is kind of what we're looking at in the passage before us this morning. We have before us the Passover feast and the festival on unleavened bread. These two feasts kind of came practice to become one, blend into one. On the 14th day of the month, Passover, the Passover lamb was slaughtered. And for 7 days, the festival on unleavened bread took place. And these feasts were so central in the lives of Jews and are continued on to this very day. Now, as Christians, we see Jesus as the Passover lamb and the Messiah, and so we practice the Lord's Supper. That is the meal that we remember Christ and what he has done. This is the outworking of the Christian life. And here we are in chapter 12. Now, if you've picked up on something and if you've read ahead, you'll notice that the story has kind of slowed down again. We had the plagues dropping like flies, continually. We get the warning of the final plague, and then Moses has kind of paused now and starts telling you about feasts and festivals, starts explaining what they are. Then the plague will come, they'll get out, and again, he'll go on to explaining the Passover. It's quite interesting. Now, this isn't just happenstance. Again, this is God's book to us. God has worked through Moses in penning this book that we would see the importance of what is about to happen. This isn't out of place. It was designed, as one writer says, to create an oasis of remembrance. The words are here to remember this meal of delight, to nourish our souls on the God's saving power. What the Israelites were about to experience was so significant, it would always be remembered and ought to never be forgotten. And that's simply what I want us to see from the text this morning. I want us to remember the saving work of God and to never forget to embrace obedience. Remember the saving work of God and never forget to embrace obedience. And to look at that, we'll walk through three movements. We'll look at a day, we'll look at a week, and we'll look at a lifetime. So firstly, a day to remember. The importance of always remembering and never forgetting this Passover meal is clear. It's obvious there in verse 14, isn't it? "This day shall be for you a memorial day, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord. Throughout your generations, as a statute forever, you shall keep it as a feast." This day of Exodus, the day that the people get out, where the people of Israel were freed from slavery, was a day to remember. Though they have passed many days in slavery, they were not to let this day pass them by. It was a day to remember. Now, this is far more than kind of some nostalgic trip when you get together with your high school friends and remember the good old days. It's not an exercise in that kind of remembering. Rather, this memorial day is to prompt something to the mind. What is most important? Back in the day, people would tie a bit of string around their finger. And it wouldn't really matter. And the string around the finger would prompt their memory. I had to remember something. I'll regularly set alarms saying, "Don't forget to remember this," And I'll set like a remembering alarm for the remembering alarm that I need to not forget. Why? Because I need all the help I can to remember. This meal prompted memory in the life of the Jewish people. It would reorientate the people around the saving work of God and its implication on their lives and worship of Him. This Passover narrative, as one writer says, elicits a communion between past and present and joins past and present together in an anticipation of the future. So this is a formative meal. You're not meant to let this day go by. You're not meant to let this Passover meal pass you by. It is to shape who you are as God's people. It's a day to remember. Have you ever had a day to remember? Have you ever had a day that was so significant in shaping who you were? Perhaps it was the day you got married, or the day of a child being born, or the day you were converted, the most glorious day. Well, this Exodus out of Egypt was a day to remember. Secondly, it was a day to never forget. Three times in this passage, you see the ongoing, continual nature of practicing this Passover meal. Here in verse 14, and again in verse 17, therefore, you shall observe this day throughout your generations as a statute forever. Again, verse 24, you shall observe this rite as a statute for you and your sons forever. This was a day worthy of being passed on. We've all experienced many forgettable days, and we forgot more days than we would care to remember. But this day was not to be forgotten. Though the day wouldn't be experienced by sons and daughters, the sons and daughters were to remember this day because it was shaped who they were. They were never to forget the benefits and the blessings that this day afforded them. The value of remembering is just very present in Scripture and a strong part of the Hebrew people's life. Deuteronomy 5:15 says, "Remember that you were slaves in Egypt and that the Lord your God brought you out there with a mighty hand and outstretched arm." Nehemiah 4:14 says, "Remember the Lord who is great and awesome. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth." Ecclesiastes 12:1. Isaiah 46:9, "Remember, I am God and there is no other." Remember. Now, what is the point of all this call to remember? It's just laced throughout the Old Testament, present in the New Testament. Why this call to remember? Well, you know, when Tegan tells me, "Don't forget your wallet," it is because I have a tendency to forget my wallet. We need to remember things we have a tendency to forget. I'd be surprised if in the last year, someone has told you, just don't forget to watch TV this week. Just don't forget. I can see you're on the verge of reading a book and I just wouldn't dare have you watch TV. Now, we tend to forget things, and so we need to be remembered. God instructs people to always remember this day because as God's people, we forget important realities. You've probably forgotten some now. You've probably come into church this morning forgetting the reason why you're here. We can forget important realities, like God saving us from slavery to sin, like being set free to worship Him. To forget this day was to forget how what God did shapes who they are. To forget God's saving work is to not be shaped by that saving work. Now, I haven't experienced head trauma that I'm aware of, but I've watched enough TV to pay attention that when someone's in a coma, sometimes when they wake up, they ask two questions. They ask, "Where am I?" And they ask, "Who am I?" Not all the time, but sometimes. Who am I? How did I get here? Well, the Passover meal is kind of answering these two questions, isn't it? How did we get here? Well, you got here through the delivering power of God when you were spared. The sacrificial lamb protected you from the angel of death. Who am I? Well, we are God's firstborn. We are His children. We are His beloved bride. We are His freed people to serve Him. That's who we are. This was a day to always remember and never forget. And thirdly, this was a day for the Lord, wasn't it? This isn't a day just for you. This is a day for the Lord. This is not a day that would be co-opted by big business and retail. No, this was a day, a a feast to the Lord, verse 14. It was a feast for him. It is his feast. So it's his directives. He is the goal. As much as it is a meal for us, it is a meal for God, unto God. His meal, his rules. It would be a meal, as Sam said last week, that would reorientate their calendars and in so doing, reorientate their lives. You, loved ones, you'll have so many demands in this world to orientate your calendar around ungodly things. An invitation to the Christian life is to orientate your calendar around godly things. Here it was around the Passover. The lamb was to be slaughtered on the 14th day of Nisan. Beginning that night on the 15th, go for 7 days. We may begin our years around January 1st, but theirs begins with Passover. Coming out of Egypt was like Israel had been given a new life, a new beginning. It's like they had been born again. This was now the central point for their calendar. As such, they were to always remember and never forget. Always remembering, though, is hard, isn't it? It's not just me who needs help reminding from Tegan about my wallet. But as Christians, we need help remembering eternal realities. We can all suffer from spiritual amnesia, forgetting ultimate truths, who we are in Christ, where we've come from, and how we ought to now live. Sure, at the beginning, perhaps when you got converted, you saw the glorious mercies of God right before your eyes daily. You couldn't imagine it got any better than this. And then as the weeks turned into months, turned into years, slowly the glory of God's saving grace began to be a distant memory. Or consider the middle-aged man who can recall with his mind that he's saved by grace, but then living out the daily grind as if his efforts all depend on him, rather than drawing mercies from the Lord. Or the young mother who's taught that her approval is in Christ, she knows that, kinda, but forgets it when the kids are a struggle and she feels haunted by the approval of others. Or the single person who knows that Christ loves them and they're not a second-rate citizen in the kingdom, and that they're to use this time fruitfully and faithfully for the spread of the gospel, and yet they can forget if God really cares for them like he seems to be caring for others, overlooking their desires while seeming to fulfill others. We all experience spiritual amnesia in different ways and different times. You know, personally, I experience moments of worry and anxiety. I need moments to be reminded of the sovereignty of God. Just in this past month, I'm literally saying to the fellow elders, would you please remind me right now that God is bigger than this problem? This problem is really big. I know God is bigger, but right now my heart doesn't. Would you please remind me of God and how big he is? And what about you this morning? Where do you tend towards spiritual amnesia? Where do you feel tempted to forget God and his grace? Have ultimate realities kind of fallen off your radar? That everyone spends eternity somewhere? Do you forget that Christ has sanctified your speech so you are to speak graciously to others? Words to build up and not tear down? Have you forgotten that the gospel really does save people? And it has the power to save. Save a husband. Save a wife. Save a family member. A brother, a sister. A wayward child. Have you forgotten that the gospel really does help you become more like Jesus? That as you behold him in glory, you begin to look like him more and more. Have you forgot that the Holy Spirit can really empower you to say no to temptation? That through the gospel, the power of sin has been disabled? Well, the Israelites were given this meal to always remember and to never forget how what God did shapes who they were. Now, one way to make sure that the day wouldn't be passed over too quickly was by placing it in the remembrance of a week. So looked at a day to never forget, and this is now a week to remember. Though it's not explicitly said, I think that it's true human reality that important days can end up passing us by if we're not careful. I think this is why some of you have adopted for birthday weeks. You're just like, oh, I just don't want to be forgotten. Let's make a week of it. I've even heard rumors of birthday months. You will find no sympathy for me if you're trying to go for the birthday month thing, let alone birthday week. All right, you get your day and that is it, all right? Yes, but labor lasted longer than a day. I understand that we should be celebrating your mother then. Well, I think we have lead up into important days. That's why Christmas season has already begun, if you've noticed. We don't want the day to pass us by. Well, the day of the Exodus, the meal of Passover is sat between 7 days of the festival of unleavened bread. To not rush this day by, to simply grab a lamb, slaughter it, put the blood on and push on to live our own lives. No, it was marked in a longer week. They were given a week to never forget. Look at verse 15. It says, 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven out of your houses. For if anyone eats what is leavened from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. And you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread. From this very day I brought your host out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe this day throughout your generations as a statute forever. You notice that about this feast, that it was both specific and strict. Specific, and then it sets out clear regulations of how it is to be remembered, and strict regarding the consequences for those who didn't obey. Specific regulations at one level might seem to us a bit tedious, but the truth is specific regulations helps carry the meaning of things forward, particularly ceremonies. We do this in all sorts of our own cultural ceremonies. You would have heard, maybe if you watched the grand final yesterday and gloriously celebrated, they asked, please remove your caps. Why have a regulation of please remove your caps? And if you're able to, would you stand as we now sing? Regulations exist because the meaning of what we're about to do shows signs of respect, a sense of togetherness. Specific regulations help carry the meaning. The festival of unleavened bread was no different. It was specific. And you can see the specificity in both the days and the diet. You can see it in the days because the first day and the last day of this festival was to be marked by corporate worship. He gets a whole congregation together. We are to get together to worship God day one and day seven. You weren't just saved out of Israel as a bunch of individuals. No, a nation was brought out of Egypt. We're in this one together. There shall be no work except the preparation of food. Work is going to take you away from people, so you are to rest so you can prioritize people the day of worship. The days mattered, but so did the diet. The diet involved no leavened bread. Leaven was used in a similar way that we might use yeast. It makes bread rise. And the meaning behind the removal of leaven, I think, is twofold. It refers to both haste and holiness. You recall when they left Egypt, they left quite quickly. We're going to find that out next week. Left quite quickly. They didn't have time for the bread to rise. Exodus 12:39 says, and they baked unleavened cakes of dough that they had brought out of Egypt, for it was not leavened because they were thrust out of Egypt and could not wait. This meal would be a reminder, we got out of here quick. It's more than just haste, though. It's holiness. It's holiness. You see, the thing about leaven is it's quite pervasive. Leaven is quite pervasive. Leaven was a portion of dough that was used and added to the new batch to begin the fermentation process and see the bread rise. Teagues and I visited a bakery once in San Francisco, and they had a 100-year-old sourdough starter. Normally, I'm not touching anything on the bench that's been there longer than a day, but for 100 years, the sourdough starter has begun. And that's what part of it was used. You'd take off a little bit of that, and you'd add it to the new batch, and the fermentation process would happen, and then the bread would rise as is baked. and they had to remove the leaven. They had to get it out because the old will work its way into the new. Israel was to leave the old behind. Leave behind the ways of Egypt. Leave behind the gods of Egypt. Leave behind your idolatry and make haste and get out to this new life. One writer, Philip Ryken, says, God wanted to do something more than get his people out of Egypt. He wanted to get Egypt out of his people. The leaven's got to go. And so each year they would clean house. They'd get rid of all leaven, sweep it out, get it out annually. Any Egyptian influence that would remain on them with its corrupting powers, remove it, discard it. Leaven is pervasive. This kind of matches with the New Testament teaching, where leaven is often used to describe the pervasiveness of sin. Jesus, in Luke 12 and in Matthew 16, 6 says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Mark 8, 15, same thing. He cautioned them saying, watch out, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. Paul said in Corinthians to put the old leaven of malice and evil away. Why? Because it is pervasive. You got to get rid of it. Get it out. So this annual festival would be this kind of habitual reminder. The old way's got to go. I don't know how you've been living this past year, little Jewish person, Jewish family, but you have a moment now to get rid of that again, to reorientate your life and get back on track. Remove anything that's corrupting your worship of God. They have to clean house. Now, I don't know how you feel about someone coming over to your house to give you an update on how clean it is, or where you could remove some things. But if someone was to come over to your house, let's say the house of your heart, and they would say, hey, better clear out the leaven, clear out that stuff that's pervasive in your life, that's distracting you and getting you off track from the worship of God, I wonder what they might point out. I wonder, this past year, have there been any sins that were maybe sporadic, have become regular? And the regulars become consistent, and the consistent is drawing you away from the worship of God. What habits would need to go if you were to clean house? What speech, words you say, with vocabulary, this just has to go. This is unbecoming of a Christian. What ways in spending your money no longer looks like generosity or kindness, but rather self-serving and self-indulgent? What's got to go? This festival helped remind them of the necessity of pure worship. The old leaven's got to go. So the festival was specific, but notice it was also strict, right? See that in verse 15 and verse 19? If any person eats what is leavened, they'll be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he is a sojourner or a native of the land. So even outsiders who weren't worshippers of Yahweh were expected to honor this religious festival. They got to get on board too. So how do we understand that phrase, cut off from the congregation? Well, I guess it's there in the text that this being cut off was a kind of segregation from the congregation, a kind of isolation and a kind of ostracization, if that is a word. In other places, to be cut off did mean death, but I don't think that's the point here. Either way, it's a severe passage, being cut off from the people. Because you didn't clear the house of leaven? I mean, that sounds pretty severe. I think it makes you ask, like, I mean, does it really matter? I mean, it's just a little bit of leaven. What if we leave the leaven but just don't use it? Like, just keep it in the house, keep it around, but we don't use it for 7 days. What if we just did that? Just a bit of leaven? I mean, at the end of the day, it's just a little bit of disobedience. I understand that God has told us to do this and instructed us to do this, but it's just a little bit of disobedience. I mean, there's much bigger disobedience out there, isn't it? Gee, we could be like those Egyptians, resisting and rejecting, like Pharaoh hardening his heart, but a little bit's not a problem. Surely this isn't going to have a big impact on the family, is it? Or my own devotion to Yahweh, or indeed the community. This is just a little bit of leaven. Well, to take the not take the feast seriously was to not take God's word seriously. And to not take God's word seriously is to not take God seriously. And to not take God seriously is serious. Cut off from the congregation. A little bit of leaven would work its way through the whole lump. Recall, this meal, this feast was to always remember God's saving grace and never forget to embrace obedience. And a little bit of leaven will work its way through. A little bit of sin, a little bit of disobedience. I mean, can't workplaces just be torn apart by a little bit of gossip? Friendship groups strained and broken by a little bit of lying? Sporting teams kind of come undone by a little bit of bad culture that gets through? Churches separated by a little bit of unaddressed sin? It's got to go. And that's what happened, sadly, with Israel. They forgot. They forgot the meal. They forgot to take the Passover. They forgot the festival of unleavened bread. And then they would fall into sin, and then they would repent and realize and remember. And then what would happen? They would partake of the Passover feast again, the festival of unleavened bread, and it would be good, and they'd experience God's blessings. And then they would fall and forget and fail and trip and falter, only to then graciously be reminded by God, and the meal would be instigated again. Such forgetfulness, though, and unfaithfulness is penned in the Psalms. Psalm 78:8 laments this. Listen, it says, "So he saved them from the hand of the foe and redeemed them from the power of the enemy. And the waters covered their adversaries. None of them was left. Then they believed his words. They sang his praise, but soon they forgot his works." They did not wait for his counsel. They forgot God, their Savior, who had done great things in Egypt. They forgot. You ever had great months of remembering God's grace, only to forget the next month? You ever had weeks like that? Like, you're finishing the week and you just can't imagine ever forgetting that God is good to you. Then the next week happens. Have you ever had days like that? You started your morning as if God is on the throne, the Spirit is in your heart, and you are going for it, faithfully enjoying the Lord's mercies, but by midday, you've forgotten. Israel faltered. But the problem with forgetting God's word is that you end up forgetting to live God's way, and you end up forgetting God. And there's a bunch of people who forget God. Forgotten how good he is. Forgotten that we take his word seriously. I wonder this morning, is there any of us here? Have any of you forgotten to remember the Lord's grace? I know it's true of all of us in a general sense, right? We all raise our hand and say we don't remember fully or as comprehensively. Perhaps there's some of us this morning where this is particularly true, though. You have forgotten to remember the Lord's grace. Forgotten the costly price of your salvation. You live as if you're forgetting to orientate your life around the worship of God. We need help, don't we, to always remember and never forget? We need all the help we can get. A teacher asked a class one day, student says, "If you could be a goldfish or an elephant, what would you be?" A little boy raised his hand and he said, "Be an elephant." And the teacher said, "Well, why is that?" The young boy said, "Well, because an elephant never forgets." Now, I could ask you that question this morning. Would you like to be a goldfish or an elephant? In one sense, that question is very trivial, isn't it? How dare we be asking such trivial questions in an important passage like this? But I'm a preacher, and I know you won't remember much. Because I don't remember much. I'll be nourished. I don't have to remember last week's meal to know that nourished me. I know you won't remember much from the sermon, but you might remember if you're a goldfish or an elephant. And Lord willing, that'll help you prompt remembering the rest of the passage. Well, may we, by God's grace, all be elephants and never forget God's mercy. Never forget and always remember His saving grace. So is there hope for forgetful people? That's kind of one of the questions I think this passage asks us. Is there hope for a people who can experience incredible deliverance but have a tendency to drift back towards apathy and indifference? Well, I think there is. We've looked at a day, we've looked at a week, but now I want to look at a lifetime of remembering. A lifetime of remembering. See, this remembering isn't just to be passed on between a family for a couple of days or years. It's to be passed on through generations. You see in verse 21, that Moses passed on the instructions to the elders of Israel just as God commanded him. And notice how the people responded. They responded with bowed heads and worship. Now, this is remarkable. The last time we heard from the Israelites was back in chapter 6, verse 9. So just pause for a moment. This means everything that's been happening there, who's been doing that work? God. God has been saving His people, and His people have been silent. What were they doing back in 6 verse 9? It says they were broken in spirit and did not listen to Moses. What's happening now? They're bowing their heads and worshiping. What's changed? They're experiencing the mighty saving power of God. That's what's changed. God is real. They're responding with faith. This is a good work of His grace. Salvation through judgment would come their way. Such good work should always be passed on to future generations. And never forgotten. The new land, when you go into the new land, when prosperity comes, when things go well for you, don't forget. See that in verse 24, you shall observe this rite as a statute for you and for your sons forever. And when you come to the land that the Lord will give you, as He has promised. Let's pause it again for a moment. When you come into land as He has promised, this is God speaking to Moses to tell the people, God has promised this will happen. You're going to get into the land. Right now, they're not in the land. They haven't even experienced the Passover yet. The angel of death hasn't come. This is still an instruction territory. You're so confident God is going to do this work. When you get into the land, you shall keep this service, verse 26. And when your children say to you, what do you mean by this service? You shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover. For He passed over the houses of the people of Israel in Egypt when He struck the Egyptians, but spared our houses. Loved ones, God in His kindness has built in a communal mechanism of remembering so that His salvation would never be forgotten. This is a glorious gift of God to the people of Israel and then to us by extension through the Lord's Supper today. Consider what this is. Like His instruction to remember isn't a harsh kind of word from God saying, don't you ever forget. It's not like that. Nor is it a kind of like wishful, all the best in remembering. No. He built in a memory prompting mechanism into the life of the people so they would always remember His saving work and never forget to embrace obedience. How many of you use some kind of calendar app to remember things? How many of you, that's like, that's my spouse. They're a living organism app that helps me remember. Much more than that, but no less. I'm reliant on them. Well, how many of you are just glad it's just not left up to your own memory to remember things? Like, how many birthdays do you actually remember of your friends without little iCal helping you out, Facebook helping you out? I know some of you, like, I have a book and I've written it down and God bless you and I would like you to help me remember those birthdays. We all need help in remembering. So each year this nation is like God says, okay, all right, let's just go over this one more time. This is how I got you out. This is what it cost. This is how you respond. I know some of you are strayed. All right, come on back. Come on back. Can you see how the mechanism of of Passover, the festival of unleavened bread, was not some kind of burdensome duty, but a delightful prompting to remind us of God's grace. How gracious is he? And what is it that he wanted them always remember? Well, we heard about it last week, and we'll recall it next week. Always remember the saving work of God, that through the sacrifice of the lamb and the sparing of the firstborn, God delivered his people through from Egypt. This is salvation through judgment. The lamb was sacrificed, verse 21 to 23. This is what we're remembering. Remember the blood was put on the lintel and the doorpost, and they'll have to wait indoors. They would experience deliverance through death, salvation through substitution, freedom through faith. The lamb was sacrificed. The people in the house, the blood also served as a sign of consecration. So it wasn't just a sign marking out that this is a sacrifice has been made, but an act of purifying them, of setting them apart as holy priests unto God. In fact, a similar ceremony is picked up later in Exodus 29:20-21, where they consecrate the priest, Aaron the priest. Same thing happens. Blood's used, sprinkled on them, setting them apart. The people of God were saved, but saved for service, saved to be God's people. So we remember how they were saved. Remember how they were spared. Remember how the angel of death passed you by. The blood was on the door, so the angel of death came by, and it has no business going in there. Why? Because there's already been blood spilt. Tim Chester is right when he says, at the end of that night, the body count was the same in every household. It was either death of a lamb or of a firstborn. Either way, someone had to die. And that is the price for our sin. As the wages of sin is death. Remember how he was spared. But how many of us know that this deliverance from judgment was only temporary? Eventually people would die. And there was a greater judgment, a greater thing they needed to be out of. This might get them out of Egypt, but it wouldn't get them out of their sins. The people of Israel still needed a deliverer. Someone who could deliver them from eternal judgment. Someone who could remove the bondage of sin that enslaved their hearts. That's what they needed. And that's what they looked forward to in the promised Messiah. That's what the Passover was pointing to. It wasn't to end on itself, but it was a point forward to the true Lamb. The true Passover Lamb. That's what we today remember as Christians. Jesus Christ. The coming Messiah. And it would happen in the same way, in the sense that the coming Messiah would be a sacrifice. That salvation through judgment would happen to the firstborn, not of sinful people, but of the eternal, holy of God. There'd be a day coming when there would be a coming lamb who would be sacrificed. Recall how John the Baptist says, when Jesus is approaching, he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." This is why Paul would refer to Jesus in the New Testament as Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Loved ones, this is the good news to always remember. This is the good news to never forget, that the Passover points to Jesus. That's what we need as forgetful people. People who forget God's grace. We begin by remembering. Remembering what? Remembering God's grace to us. Remembering our Savior. Remember that he was the spotless Lamb of God. Remember, in him was no sin or deceit, no kind of infirmity, no blemish. Remember, in Christ, no bone was broken, just like it was required of a lamb. His body was, but his bones weren't. He was the perfect Passover sacrificial lamb. He gave himself over for our deliverance so that we would be a consecrated people to him. You know where God is able to pass over our sin now? How is it that God could pass over your sin of the last week without bringing judgment on you? It's because the Father did not pass over the Son on the cross, but rather poured out his wrath against sin upon him. He was sacrificed so that we would be spared. And Hebrews 10 calls it a once-for-all sacrifice. Unrepeatable. Unforgettable. Always memorable. This is the day we ought to remember. This is the day we ought to never forget, the day of Christ on the cross. Do you remember that day? Do you recall it by faith? We weren't there, but we've heard the message. Do you recall it? Do you let it shape who you are now? There's many days that you can let shape yourself. And there's more and more days being thrust upon you to celebrate and to remember. I don't know if you've paid attention to like just how many like special days like there are going on the calendar these days. So this week I looked up. I said, what's happening this? Like what's a special, you know, King's Birthday Day and, you know, different, it mentioned Anzac Day and they're good days. But this week on Wednesday, do you know what was on Wednesday? This is National Comic Book Day. Wednesday, don't just think, oh, Wednesday's full with National Comic Book Day. It was also National Dream Day, National Better Breakfast Day, National Cook Day, and National Daughter Day. That's just Wednesday. You know what Thursday was? National HR Resource Day. I reckon every staff member would have been aware of that one, receiving the email. But there's many other days trying to be celebrated in our culture, isn't there? Because you make a day of it, so you make a value of it. Harmony Day, Transgender Day. Many days taking place to celebrate things, to promote certain values. There's many days that people want to impress upon us and shape us. Maybe you have your own days. Maybe you just call them holidays. Or Saturdays, the your days to shape your life. Well, whatever it may be, we want to be as Christians, people shaped by the day of the cross, by the day of the empty tomb as well. We want to be a people who remind one another we've been liberated from the power of sin, to look back to that day and to like grab hold of its truths and bring it to bear upon the present. Imagine for a moment you work in a toxic work environment. Your boss above you is not a nice person to you. They take control, they micromanage, they kind of get into all your work, they underappreciate you, they make life difficult for you, they bark orders at you all the time. And some of you are thinking, I'm an intern, this is like my job, like this is what I do, is I'm bottom of the rank post-grad. Like this is, that sounds like my, but if that's you, whatever it is. Now imagine one day though, in this terrible kind of enslavement, bad work environment, another manager from another sector finds you and then kind of poaches you to come work for them. Different sector, different part of the business. This is a new nice manager. Loves you, cares for you, wants you to flourish, do well. And one day, the other manager sees you and goes to bark an order to you and tell you what to do. Do you have to listen anymore? No. You're no longer under their authority. You're no longer under their control. Loved ones, in Christ, we've been moved from one sphere of authority to another. We've come out of slavery to sin and we're now slaves to Christ. We are not only not to listen to the commands of our sin, the desires of the flesh, we wouldn't want to. We have a new master and a new God who rules over us, who gave his life for us. This is what we need to remind each other with. You are to take the moments of the past and bring them to bear upon the future. I mean, this is what Paul's doing in the church of Corinth, isn't he? You know, Corinth was just a messy church, steeped in sin. And he says, guys, your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Cleanse out the old leaven that you may be a new lump as you really are unleavened. What does he say to the church? Is you really are unleavened. If you're in Christ, you really have been set free. Have you forgotten? He says, this is who you are. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Let us therefore celebrate the festival, not with the old leaven, the leaven of malice and evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. You see, because of Christ's sacrifice, we really are unleavened. We really have left the whole behind. Oh, we're just trying to catch up our memory, aren't we, with what's true of us in Christ. So how do you remember and always remember and never forget? How do we live that out as God's people? Well, we're given promptings, aren't we? As they just start by remembering the gospel. Remembering the gospel. If you're familiar with the letter to the Ephesians, the church in Ephesus, 6 chapters, the first 3 chapters. In fact, from 1 verse 1 to 4 verse 5, there's only one imperative, one command. You know what it is? Remember. That's it. Remember. And a bunch of others after that. When they're declaring how good God is and who he is and what he's done, one command, remember. Remember that you were once not God's people, but through Christ you are. Remember how you had no hope, but now in Christ you've been brought near by the blood of Christ. Or take Timothy 2:18. Remember Jesus Christ raised from the dead. So remember Christ. Remember the gospel. Remember Christ and your discipleship of one another. If you're wondering, man, it's hard to know what to do in discipling, well, just start with remembering. I had a friend of mine say to me, I asked him, I said, if I was to disciple you, what would you want me to do? And he said, this is what I want you to do. I would want you to remind me what I've been saved from. I would want you to remind me who my Savior is, and I want you to remind me what I've been saved for. So I think I could do that. Got God's Word, I got God's Spirit, and I got God's people. I can help remind you. And when I forget, would you help remind me? So we remember the gospel, we remember Christ and discipling one another. We remember Christ through the Lord's Supper. This is our Passover meal to celebrate the Passover lamb. This is what Jesus instituted in the upper room with his disciples. As they're partaking of the Passover meal, he says to them, this is my body given for you, and this wine is my blood poured out for you. He's saying, I am the fulfillment of this meal. And this is a meal to be passed down through the generations. As Paul shares in his letter to the Corinthians, for I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you. Once again, just noticing, God to Moses, Moses to the elders. Paul has received, he passes on, was passing on the message. That the Lord on the night when he was betrayed took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant of my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you drink this bread and eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. That's how we always remember and never forget. By a returning and a repeating and a rejoicing and rehearsing of the Lord's Supper. So our sons and daughters may know. So remember to regularly gather around the Lord's table. In God's providence, he just hasn't left it up for us to just remember without any help. He's given us the Lord's Supper as a mechanism to be reformed and refreshed and renewed and nourished on him, to reflect of our sin. We don't have to wait a whole year to reorientate your life. Loved ones, as we gather on the Lord's Supper, you should have kind of a maximum 2 weeks between forgetting. 3 weeks if there's five Sundays in a month. Which there is this week. Isn't that gracious of God? Sometimes children disobey and they say, I just forgot. My brain didn't remember. And as Christians, we'll do the same. But with the Lord's Supper as a gift to you, you should not be carrying over unrepentant sin longer than 2 weeks, longer than a week between gathering around the Lord's table. We're going to gather around it next week. And remember. Remember, reflect, remember, be reformed. So we remember the gospel of Jesus Christ. We remember that in our discipling of one another. We remember Christ through the Lord's Supper. We remember Christ for the sake of your family. Parents, your children may ask you, what do you mean by this? They may ask you, what's the deal with the bread and the juice? Why can't I have one? Like, what's the deal with this? What's the deal with going to church on Sundays? Why do we have to do this every week? So many teenagers are here. Well, you're probably wondering, why do we do this? I wonder, parents, what will you say? Will you tell them, son, daughter, oh, we are remembering that we've been liberated from the tyranny of sin. We've been set free by the grace of our Savior. Oh, to live a life in honor of worship of him. That's what we're celebrating here. Parents, I think the encouragement for you this morning is to live a life that will make your children ask such questions and to be ready to give answers. Gathering regularly at a church, belonging to a church, not simply attending services, but belonging, being a meaningful part of a church, a body. Live out in such a way that they ask questions. And remember his grace for the sake of the next generation. This is the last thing. The next generation needs to know why we do what we do, don't they? You just can't have it assumed. I remember going on a summer mission trip down to Brunswick Heads. And each person has turned sharing stories. And this one gal wanted to share a story of kind of an insight she had that year. And so she shared this story about understanding why she did what she did. And she said, well, one day there was a lady who cut a, it was like Thanksgiving dinner, and they cut the turkey in half, threw away half and put it in the oven and cooked the turkey. And the daughter remember saying, Mom, like, why'd you cut it in half? And the mum said, oh, we've always just done that. My mum did that. And so the young the daughter said, well, I'm going to ask Grandma. So went up to Grandma and said, Grandma, like, well, Mum said you cut it in half. Like, why do you always cut it in half? And Grandma said, well, my mum did that. We've always just cut it in half. That's what we've always done. Well, this family fortunately had a great-grandmother. Worked well for the story. And the daughter went to the great-grandma and said, great-grandmother, said, I heard that my mum cut it in half because her mum cut it in half. And did you also cut it in half? Why did you cut it in half? And she said to her, oh my dear, we only had a small oven back then. That's why we cut it in half. Understanding the why is essential for the next generation. They need to know why. They need a rich understanding of the gospel, of the blood that spared us. You need to pass it on. Not a thin, empty religious practice. By God's grace, this church will pass on a living memory of the gospel. We are the living memory of the gospel. We are the community testifying to the world of God and His grace. When we gather around the Lord's table, we are proclaiming that Christ is King. This is what we always remember and what we never forget. So, loved ones, remember the 5th of November, but always remember the saving grace of God. And remember to be like an elephant who never forgets to embrace obedience. Let us pray. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, heals all your diseases, redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with the good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. May God graciously help us all to remember and live in light of that grace this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.